Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Previously on Gresh and Keefe.
Patriots will cover and the game will go under. I like the Patriots as well. I feel good about the Patriots.
This is Gresh and Keefe.
Oh, great block right there. And look at the broken tackles. Damian Harris bulldozing his way. Myers digging, turning. That is a touchdown.
Mac Jones gets his first win as an NFL quarterback.
Andy Gresh.
Yeah, we wanted to score, and everybody was down there pushing, and my job is to make sure that nothing bad happens and try and be by the ball, but maybe I should just stay back. But
I appreciate it, but I hope he never does it again.
Rich Keefe.
Lobs one, left sideline. It's going to be an interception. Interception number four.
They actually booed early in the fourth quarter. Did you hear them?
I mean, I'm not paying attention to it, but they should be booing, right? It's exactly what I just said. We're not playing. We didn't play well on offense.
Gresh and Keefe starts right now.
Giants fans when Dexter Lawrence jumped offside.
No.
What the fuck y'all?
Well, I'm roasted.
Yep, smoked them.
On WEEI.
Let's let you know right now, the Lawrence guy is going to join us around 10:30 today. And, well, let's get into this Patriots game with you. We want to hear from you at 617-779-7937. Looks like James White will be with us at 12:30. We have Lawrence guy in hour one and a lot of you coming up today here on the WEEI Sports Radio Network, WEEI.com, anytime, anywhere, on the Odyssey app. And Keith, the best description that I have for yesterday's Patriots game is very simple.
Okay.
It's like a relationship status on either Facebook or Instagram or whatever.
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
It's complicated.
Yeah. Again, you beat up a team 25-6, right? So you easily cover the game. Was never really in doubt of losing, and yet still plenty to clean up. Because you do have to grade it a bit on a curve. The reality is the Jets are horrible. The Jets are one of the 3 to 5 worst teams in football. Zach Wilson just made his second start. Robert Saleh was just coaching his second NFL game. So they're not good. If it was a team that didn't make as many mistakes and have as many turnovers, who knows what the result was going to be. So there was certainly some good to take away from the Patriots game, but I'm sure Bill's looking at it like he has a lot to clean up, especially when the competition gets tougher.
Well, let's get into what was the crux of the issue for me anyway.
Go ahead.
And that clearly was the offensive line.
Oof.
I think completely altered the play calling from the very beginning. I mean, when you look, I know there's going to be a lot of people. I heard Wiggy, we're just in here. You know, Max, another one, the game manager, da-da-da. I don't care who you are. And we saw this when Tom Brady was here. It doesn't matter with Jimmy Garoppolo. It doesn't matter who the quarterback is. If the play caller cannot trust the offensive line to execute, it is going to change the amount of risk that they take within that play calling. It's going to change the way the quarterback is going to play. In a way, it changes everything. And that first quarter, you could see once again that whether it was Justin Herron or Yasir Durant, it wasn't good enough at right tackle, and it caused massive issues.
Yeah, Matt got hit a bunch. He got sacked a bunch, and that right tackle spot was awful. And we did our little halftime live show on Twitter, and they were up by 10, but it didn't look great, you know? And they just really, especially offensively, couldn't get a lot going because of that. Like, it seemed like it was a jailbreak every single time. And amazing what one loss and how the offensive line looks. And oh, by the way, that Jets front, not great.
No, the Jets are just not good at all.
It's a bad roster. The roster is poor, is how you'd grade that roster.
And it looked like there were two people that were clueless during that game. One was on the sidelines, the head coach in Robert Saleh.
Yeah.
And the other one was the quarterback in Zach Wilson.
He's just out there trying to make plays.
Well, then that's a thing. Oh, but that's right. That's what Mac doesn't do. So that's what we're encouraging now. Like the narrative, and I'm trying not to explode on
people.
Yeah,
you seem a little hot about this.
Who are pushing the narrative. So what we want is on 2nd and 28, got to throw a ball down the field. Throw it down the field. And so we're going to throw in picks on 2nd and 28?
No, but the reality is, and I'm not quite to the extreme of like Mac Jones can't throw touchdown passes, but he does have one. He's on pace for 8 this season. So you do need to throw touchdown passes to win in the NFL. It was the same criticism we had last year of Cam Newton. Ah, what about the rushing touchdowns, Keith?
Yeah,
yep,
no.
You had a bunch of rushing touchdowns. You also need to throw it into the end zone. So again, with that said, they were a Damian Harris fumble away from beating the Miami Dolphins. Mm-hmm. And then it was a pretty ugly game, and yet you never thought you were going to lose to the Jets yesterday.
At no point
did you think you were going to lose.
But don't you think on some level that is encouraging in that this offensive group is still coming together? So right now on offense, you have a young quarterback you're trying to develop. You have wide receivers on the outside who, to this point, have not been very successful in getting open and just running routes and creating separation. Jonnu Smith went in with a bad wheel, maybe.
Yeah, he didn't play a ton.
He played half the snaps, mm-hmm. but that's where the layer of Hunter Henry, it didn't kill you completely in the passing game, as we saw the one big play as it opened up. And, you know, there's a guy on Twitter who was like, is Mac throw the ball over 5 yards? Well, he did Hunter Henry there, and there were some other throws that would qualify.
Right.
But, you know, it's as if people want to turn this offense into 2007. Like, Randy Moss was a special player that allowed you to press the ball down the field. There's no one on this roster you could throw it up in the middle of coverage and let him go make a play. But I do think the tone of the game was very much set by the offensive line early. And did you ever get a sense in watching them offensively that O-line got it cleaned up enough to where you can then look at Mac or the running backs or others and say, okay, those guys played great for a half, and it was the skill players who let them down?
No, I didn't. No, and I think, you know, the offensive line was a major issue, and that's one thing where when you kind of project forward into some of these better defenses, you're like, all right, Trent Brown better hurry up and get back. Or they got to figure out something else. Like,
we talked about during our halftime live of jumbling around.
Does Onwenu say, all right, you got to play right tackle and you got to move Ted Karras to guard? Or you got to sort of change? Because Durant and Haran just do not. They are getting abused out there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they are just turnstiles. And so it's affecting the whole offense, right? It's the pass game for sure. And even to a certain degree, I think the run game is being impacted by that as well. So that is something, even when you win by 20 points, you got to look at and say, how do you clean that up? Because almost every team you play, outside of maybe the Texans and the Jaguars, are going to be better than the Jets in every area.
Do you think that there are some who are forgetting that there are other guys that they're integrating into this offense? Like, I thought at the end of the game, when they end up kicking the field goal to make it 25-6, right? If they wanted to run a goal line play there for a touchdown, they probably could have. But why shoot that shot now when you don't have to? It feels like there are layers to this offense that the Patriots might be comfortable with, but they don't have to roll it out. And I've heard people in the past criticize Bill Belichick with the, he does enough to win the game versus mm-hmm. doing enough to blow people out. I think there is a method to that madness in terms of, like, we don't have to run a play to throw a touchdown on top of a game that's already in the bag.
No. They definitely don't need to do that. And the Patriots, better than any other team, they just take away what you do well,
yep.
and what you do poorly, they exploit. That happens all the time. And so I think going into the game, very clearly, they were like, all right, we're not going to let Corey Davis have a big game. He didn't. And I'll tell you, and you also just let the Jets do dumb stuff, because the Jets could have, in my opinion, ran the ball all game long. If they just ran the ball starting at the beginning of the game and just kept that going, don't you think they would have? I don't think they win. I think the Patriots still win the game, but it's not a 19-point loss, and the Jets might get in the end zone. They ran 31 times as a team for 152 yards.
Yep.
That's 5 yards, just under 5 yards a pop. And then they're like, nope, let's go play action and have our rookie quarterback sling it. Like, there's just a lot of dumb stuff on the Jets. But again, you'll take it as you know, the Patriots. You'll take the win any way you can.
Yeah, and if you take away even the 3 carries and 19 yards for Zach Wilson, you're still well over 4.5 yards right. per carry. They still put up a big number. And you're right. I mean, if you're the Jets, you know, eventually the Patriots probably would have loaded up on it and shut it down. But I think they were also pretty comfortable with, okay, put it in 3rd and 7, mm-hmm. and the kid will do something stupid. And just and I know that we've got a lot of Mac and offense and that to talk about. What you saw with the New York Jets is what most rookies look like.
A lot of them.
Even if you're not ready to say, Mac Jones is going to be the next big thing. When you look at the difference in the pocket, and Mac Jones wasn't perfect, but when you look at the way that guy operates in the pocket,
yeah.
and, oh, hey, great, Zach Wilson, ooh, he can run around, he can throw the ball country mile. That's great. If those are the traits you want,
he can make all the throws.
Yeah, that's right.
He can make all the throws.
But you know what? His brain rattles yeah. around like a BB in a boxcar because the guy can't see things, he can't think, and he is another one of these athletic guys that everybody goes crazy about, and then you get him out there, and he can't, you know, 1 + 1 = 7.
But also, like when you're in a horrible situation, that is going to be exposed. So I think Zach Wilson, as soon as he got drafted by the Jets, was like, that guy's not going to work. That's what I said. And I know in a vacuum, like Zach Wilson, better athlete than Mac Jones, probably a better arm than Mac Jones. But just going to the Jets, you knew it. Mm-hmm. And again, 5 first-round pick quarterbacks this year. They're not all going to be good. Just look at every other draft class. One of those guys is going to be Josh Rosen. One of those guys is going to be Dwayne Haskins. One of those guys is going to be an absolute mess. And Mac Jones got drafted the latest, but he and I guess Trey Lance are in the best spot possible.
Correct.
Right? Justin Fields kind of somewhere in between. Trevor Lawrence obviously is in not a very good spot, in my opinion, but a lot of number one overall picks aren't. And then Zach Wilson, he's going to a first-year head coach who is a defensive guy, and then you have not a super experienced offensive coordinator, and the skill position players and your offensive line is not very good. So, like, good luck, and just, like, not even a doubt. It was like, he's going to start week one. Mm-hmm. There wasn't even a question. Like, yeah, Zach, is he ready? Who cares? He's starting week one.
That's right. It wasn't a competition.
No, not at all.
It was an anointment.
Right. Even Trevor Lawrence showed up, and Minshew was there before they traded him.
That's right.
Who did the Jets have? Anybody? Anybody? You knew he was going to start. And, yeah, he's not ready, and the Patriots certainly took advantage of that.
There's no question. And so that's why I think today is complicated because
it is.
You look at the Jets and you say they stink, and you look at the Patriots and say, wow, there's a lot to clean up. But even in a performance where the Patriots weren't great against a really bad team like the Jets, they still won by 19 points.
Right.
And I do take some big solace in that because – if I heard Bill Belichick correctly earlier today on the Greg Hill show, when asked about Nick Folk, it was, well, you know, he made a big kick down here to give us the win. Like last year against bad teams, the Patriots, if they played bad, they were playing down to them. We could argue that the Patriots did not play great yesterday, and they were still 20 points better than the Jets.
And that is the sign of a playoff team. I'm not going to call them a Super Bowl team, but a playoff team doesn't have to play their best to beat the bad teams. Right, like, and it's those other teams that have, you know, the slip up, and that's how they lose to somebody who's much, much better than them. And the Patriots also don't have that margin of error, especially after losing to the Dolphins week one. Like all these games they need to clean up on because there are plenty of other 50-50 games or games where it's going to be outright underdogs.
Well, there you go. And the war of the battle and the war of attrition is beginning in the NFL. There are injuries all over the place.
Oh, they're dropping like flies yesterday.
It's pretty crazy. And it's 17 weeks. I mean, yeah. God almighty, I don't know how some of these teams are going to be able to get through it. Like the San Francisco 49ers now have 4 running backs that are hurt and one who might not be able to play next week.
The Niners and Ravens, I think, have gone both through their backfields.
It's really crazy, isn't it?
It's nuts.
And yet we're looking at, oh, how many carries is J.J. Taylor going to get? Yeah. And they sprinkled him in a little bit.
Not many.
But it really was a James White day. We will talk with James White at 12:30 here on Patriots Monday with Gresham Keefe. Lawrence Guy is around the way, but we want to load it up and talk to you at 617-779-7937. If you're in a spot where you can't call, maybe you're at work and you're just listening to us on the Odyssey app, hey, if you get in the car, make sure you put us on 93.7, 103.7 down in Providence, Worcester, Springfield, Cape the Islands, Keene, New Hampshire, and up in Maine. But you can also get us on the 3T, Twitter at Gresh Keefe. You can text us at 37937. Shime is manning the Twitch chat, weei.com/watch. Let's get to you, 617-779-7937. Joe and Millis, first up today with Gresh and Keefe. Go, Joe.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
Matt Jones played a pretty good game yesterday. I'm impressed by his presence in the pocket, his ability to get his receivers more time to get open just by his athleticism. Now, what I do want to criticize is some of the play calling. I'm tired of the offensive coordinator taking credit for guys going above and beyond their play. And I just want to see some smarter play calling. I'm tired of watching the same guy get the ball three times in a row. That's become old. And I don't want to see any more plays where it looks like the ones I used to draw up in the dirt with a stick down at the sandlot. I want to see more, you know, design plays.
All right,
thanks.
Joe.
I'll wait to hear your comment. Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Joe. Yeah, I mean, like the Damien Harris touchdown run is not, you know, a brilliant play call. That was a brilliant run. That was an awesome run by Damien Harris. Yeah, I mean, I think, and Gresh, you're shaking your head, so I feel like you're going to say it had more to do with the offensive line and what is McDaniel supposed to do.
Like, I'm trying not to get upset at someone like Joe, who's a great listener, but
you're running hot. Well, Shime feels the same way. Shime during Halftime Live said he's done with McDaniels.
So we're now
a pack of stuff. He said
I'm more out on that than Mac Jones.
I think it's twofold.
Okay.
Number one is there is the young quarterback who I don't know. Would you rather him be Zach Wilson and throw it everywhere?
No, I don't
or
think
do you
he
want
would
him
be
to be conservative? But like to people like Joe, it's the whole how come you're not chucking it 60 yards? Okay. So what does he want? You want to go route to JJ Taylor?
No, I think you're going extreme. But I don't think just because.
But what does he mean about the ball going to everyone? Like Mac Jones, didn't he have 8 different receivers in week one? And I don't know how many it was yesterday.
7
different receivers. So again, who was left? Chucky in the equipment room?
Yeah.
We're going to suit him up, put him in the slot, run a go route?
Yeah, is he fast? I'd give him a shot.
Like that, but this is the lunacy of.
But are you getting
of
the most
where we've gotten to the where we got all to right. this point? And again, that O line stinking early. That right tackle spot.
It's always a mess.
Right?
It's
what do you call on 3rd and 7?
Yeah.
That's going to go to Chucky the equipment boy,
no,
so that
dressed.
You feel better that
plate.
That guy gets a catch and that your quarterback doesn't get killed, which he almost did in the first quarter. By
he
the
got
way.
Hit a ton. No, he absolutely hit a ton. They loaded up in the offseason with 2 new receivers and 2 new tight ends. And through 2 weeks, have you even seen like the most that you can get from those guys?
No. And I think Miami loaded up because
on
they
the
know
ends.
This is what they're going to do.
Maybe.
And we have to at least put into context that Smith was dinged up. But that's where the position last year complete. If you lost Asiasi, and even then he wasn't great, the position completely fell off. It was Matt Lacoste, Meadhead blocking out there.
I mean,
at least now, because you've layered the tight ends with Henry and Smith, you at least have one functional guy that you can put out there so
nice
the offense doesn't stall.
They didn't do that week one. And maybe to your point, Miami took it away.
Right,
but
and
they
guess
hit
what?
That.
And when the Jets blitzed on that, which is what they did, the quarterback read the play properly and threw it to the proper guy. But according to some fans out there, he's not supposed to do that. He's supposed to throw a go route to make him feel good that he's trying to throw it down the field.
So you're just getting upset that people are criticizing the checkdowns, but there's a difference between being super conservative and then being reckless. Right, like just because you're throwing the ball downfield doesn't mean it is Zach Wilson run side to side and then heave it.
And I think people are encouraging or wanting recklessness from Mac Jones when we know that that's not the way
he
is going to operate.
But I kind of get it because you go from last season where you have the worst thrower of the football at quarterback.
Yes.
And you assume it's just massive upgrade and yet the play calling is not really going there, right? It's still very conservative. It's 22 of 30. They kept highlighting on the broadcast, like, oh, look at his completion percentage. It's like it was at Alabama. He's the same guy he was at Alabama. It's like, actually, at Alabama, they would huck it down the field, and there'd be, you know, Devontae Smith running free for 3 touchdowns in a game. So it was a little bit different than that. But I think that might be the one frustration because, you know, against good teams, one touchdown against, like, against Miami is not going to work. Two touchdowns against the Jets right. is not going to work. They need to convert. Like right now, Nick Folk is earning his money because he's out there kicking field goals all the time.
And I guess I would say this: did they take a step forward from week one to week two? And put into context what is going on with that offensive line as well, because we haven't seen. It's
so, do
funny.
You think the offense was better week two than week one?
I think
because the line really just was.
Well, the line
worse.
Screwed a lot of it yeah. up, and that's the thing. Like, we still haven't seen Mac Jones with the complete set of ones, like with that no. first group offensive.
I know
line.
Trent Brown played what seven plays
right.
week one,
and our biggest critique is not what it was last year, which was what the hell are they doing out there? It doesn't resemble any of what they're doing.
Right
to now, it's. The guy should be throwing the ball down the field. The play caller's bad, yada, yada, yada. We will continue to peel this apart because there's a lot to get to. Yesterday's Patriots game was a little complicated. Lawrence Guy of the New England Patriots scheduled to join us coming up here on Patriots Monday. Right now here, Scheim, it is time to trend.
Online or over the air, we don't care.
I have a crippling fear of snakes.
Just make us your new midday habit. Gresh and Keefe. WEEI.
Wilson deflected. It's reeled in and intercepted on the play by J.C. Jackson. Wilson. Intercepted. Picked off by Adrian Phillips. Third down and four. Good time inside. Wilson. Intercepted. Third of the day. The second today for J.C. Jackson. They need the 48 of the Patriots. Good time and downfield and intercepted. Picked off by Devin McCourty.
Well, Zach Wilson, have a day, kid. And he did. The Jets quarterback, not one, not two, not three, but four interceptions. And at Gresh Keefe on Twitter, during halftime, we were giving you some Gresh and Keefe Halftime Live. And when we ended that little chat coming out of halftime, it was, all right, how many does the
yeah,
kid
you were
end
almost
up with?
Right.
I said five.
Yeah, you were close.
You guys were like, yeah, he's going to sit at
we'll
three.
See.
And, of course, he comes right out and just.
Yes, right. Maybe the worst one, the
that
fourth
was
one. You're
good
like, my God, like, what are you doing?
Like, Devin McCourty could have called for a fair catch on that
right.
thing. It was such a bad throw.
Now, if you are in Zach Wilson's family, if you are a friend of Zach Wilson, this is what you tell him. You tell him, Tom Brady. His rookie year, I guess his second year, but his first year as a starter, also had a four-pick game.
Yep.
And he responded to that with like a monster game the next week and then obviously went on to win the Super Bowl and become the greatest quarterback of all time. So that's what you're going to have to bank on. There are guys, even though in recent memory, Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield, Joe Burrow, rookies have come onto the scene and have been awesome. There's also a history of guys like Peyton Manning and... Troy Aikman, who were horrible rookies.
Right.
The team sucked, they sucked, and then they turned things around. Now, I don't know if that's going to happen. I don't think Zach Wilson is surrounded by the right pieces to turn it around. And again, you know, part of it is probably him.
I mean, Braxton Berrios had 7 for 73. Like,
that's your guy?
Like, what are we talking about?
He couldn't
about?
Even make the Patriots when they were bad.
Exactly.
And so he's in a position to fail.
I'm completely with you. So there was good and bad from the Patriots defense yesterday. Joining us right now on the Harbor One Hotline for Patriots Monday, it is Patriots defensive lineman Lawrence Guy. He is brought to us by Koopman Lumber and Beltate's Building Products, your Anderson window dealers. Love the life you see. Lawrence Guy, good morning, friend. Congratulations on the victory down there in New York yesterday.
Thank you. Good morning to y'all, too.
So I know last week we asked you about the run defense, and you were critical of the situational run defense at the end of the game. Normally the first drive with the first 15, people are settling in and kind of figuring it out. 31 carries, 152 yards for the Jets. How did you view the rushing defense yesterday by you and your mates?
I feel like we did a good job handling the game. Picking up different situations, you know. We had a good low red stop. On top of that, they adjusted and we adjusted. Like I said the week before, our biggest issue we needed to make it count when it mattered, and I feel like we did that. We had a low red stop. We made sure they didn't score. We did everything we can to try to control the game in the ability we were able to do, and we're playing good football. You know, we got multiple interceptions. Those turnovers are huge. Turnovers are super huge, so you're able to do all that, but you also are able to communicate on the sideline, like, hey, man, this is what we see. This is what's going on. They're running this play. They're running that. This is what they're beating us on. what do we do, need to do next and continue to do it. But we learned from our mistakes from last week.
Lawrence, can you tell when you have a quarterback's number? Because I know a couple years ago, pretty famously, Sam Darnold was mic'd up against you guys, and he said he was seeing ghosts, and he just was having a real tough time. It felt like that may have also been the case with Zach Wilson. Could you tell early on that you guys were really getting to him?
You know, we felt like we were just playing good football. People have some bad games here and there, but it was just like, okay, let's not say the first takeover is going to be the next takeover. Let's just keep playing hard. And we got the second takeover. It's just like, hey, we got to keep going and going and going. It wasn't like, oh, man, it's nothing to be being cocky or overconfident. It's like, hey, we just got to continue to play football the way we're doing and do it. Then again, my man did juke me out there. I was on an island, and he made me look bad, so I can't say much about him.
He's athletic. I mean, that's for sure. The guy can move. The guy can throw. But, you know, some of the decisions were probably to be desired.
Yes. Yeah.
There's some things that he could have been done, but I feel like he every game he's going to get better, and he's going to look at this film and like, hey, this is what I got to do next time to play a better game, because he's a good quarterback. You know, he has a whole lot of talent and a whole lot of growing he has to do, but I feel like he's going to learn from this game. But we just went out there as a unit and said, hey, this is what we got to do. We got to play 90 minutes of football, and no matter what happens, we got to compete every single down. And that's what we did. We competed every single down to make sure we try to win it. And if they made a big play, okay, cool, move on and continue to play. To make sure that we came out with a W.
Lawrence Guy with Gresham Keefe on Patriots Monday here. He joins us on the Harbor One hotline. Y'all had six plays in the first quarter. Did the real adjustments for you guys defensively, Lawrence, not start taking place until you were healthily, maybe almost midway through the second quarter, where you actually had a real defensive series where the Jets didn't fling the ball to someone in your uniform?
Yeah, you know, the adjustments happen. They have some plays that they hit us with in the first couple of plays, you know, the first two plays, except for the interception. They have some plays. Okay, this is what the game is being built, you know. What's their script looking like? Then we go, okay, they hit us with this. Are they going to come back with the flash play, the 12 personnel flash? Are they coming back with that? And you continue to go. But like I said, the best thing about it is when you're able to sit there and like, hey, you only got a couple plays in the first quarter. It's amazing. That means you're off the field. The offense has the ball. The more the offense has the ball, the better outcome it is for the game. But yeah, as soon as the second quarter hit, we started doing more adjustments. But when the second half hit, we're like, okay, what plays did they hit us with in the first half? Doesn't matter how many yards they hit us with. Some plays, are they going to come back to that? What we got to do if we see that again? Like I said, it went from outside running the game to inside running the game. So we just continue to make those adjustments as we keep going in the game. But like, hey, it was a fun game to play. You know, you're in a division team again, and the atmosphere was amazing out there. You had the fans back. You're able to talk a little trash, and you was able to just keep competing. So it was a fun game. I feel both teams went out there and played their butts off. It's just, we were just a better team on that day. And you could just enjoy it, you know. You could enjoy the win.
Lawrence, Josh Uche had two sacks yesterday. He had a sack week one against Miami. He seems to be really coming into his own. What have you seen in his improvement from year one down to year two?
I felt like even last year that he was always asking questions. He always wanted to get better. And that showed up in this offseason and this training camp. He went in there with a passion to be better than he was last year. So he wasn't afraid of criticism. He wasn't afraid of that. And he's honing down. The game is slowing down for him. He's like, okay, this is what I got to do to be good. And, you know, everybody gets more comfortable in the scheme and the playbook in the second year. So he came in with his head down in his book, working his butt off, the confidence what he's doing. And it showed up on Sunday. You know, he had a good week of practice. So he went out there and like, okay, what can I do to get to the quarterback? What can I do to help in a run game? And he did everything he could. But that's the best thing. You can see how hard he's working the game, his stride that he's doing right now. And that's what you really want in a young player, is them to work their butts off and ask all the questions they can so they can be better.
Lawrence, do you feel like this team is developing and learning how to play complementary football? Or in some ways, are you guys already there?
You're always learning. We've been learning for every game we have, every practice we have, we learn. You can look in the previous years, we did the same thing. Now everything looks pretty. You know, some years you got to have a couple of games, you can win all these games in a row and lose a whole bunch of games in the back end, and vice versa. So every week we're always getting better at the chemistry of the team. We have a young team, we know it, but that chemistry is being built in practice. It's being built in the games. It's being built with scout teams. And that's the best thing about it is when you can continue to build it, you can see the team grow. Like Evan said, don't judge the team on the first five games of the season, because they're just going to get better and better every single game.
Lawrence, was that flight so short you had no idea to sink your teeth into anything that maybe Rich Keefe would watch?
I finished Loki.
Oh, what'd you think?
Oh, my God. They went into the multiverse.
Mm-hmm. Loving it.
Like I'm all into the multiverse. I'm like, okay, cool. When Spider-Man hits, I better see Tobey Maguire come out.
I think he will.
If he doesn't, I'm very disappointed.
I know.
The multiverse is amazing. Then I have to watch Bait Click. I heard that's one of the best short series out there right now.
Oh, Clickbait?
Oh, is it Clickbait?
I think it's Clickbait. Yeah, I haven't watched it yet. That's on Netflix. Throw that in my queue.
I heard he's elite.
All right. What about, okay.
So something you got to sink your teeth in is Clickbait.
All right.
I'm going to probably watch that tonight and see how it goes.
Sounds good to me.
And then it's start to get ready for the New Orleans Saints in Gillette Stadium next Sunday. We'll be all over it this week here with Gresh and Keefe. Lawrence Guy, thank you for joining us here on this Patriots Monday. Have a great week. We'll catch you next Monday, hopefully after another win.
Thank you for having me. Yep, I'll see you next Monday. Hopefully he comes out with a win, too.
There you go, baby.
Thanks, Lawrence.
There's it. There goes Lawrence Guy. Our interview with Lawrence Guy is brought to you by Verizon. Well, the key takeaway of this week is brought to you by the Dan O'Brien Auto Group. I mean, is there any other key takeaway other than four interceptions for the New England Patriots defense off the arm of Zach Wilson? Go into any Dan O'Brien Auto Group store today. Get your awesome protection plan, keeping it awesome. All right, right back to you on these phones. A complicated game for the Patriots yesterday. How do you feel about it? 617-779-7937. We know the O-line needs some help. What'd you make of Mac Jones? Do you think that Josh McDaniels is holding something back? We get to all that with you next.
Make sure to keep Gresh and Keefe a part of your routine.
A wizard with the stick.
And if you miss a show, download the podcast at weei.com.
Mac Jones will join Marloni and Fourier at 2:30 this afternoon. That's the schedule, 2:30 this afternoon. For Mac Jones on Marloni and Fourier here on Patriots Monday, James White will join us at 12:30. Right now, we're talking the game with you. 617-779-7937. Matt in Rhode Island, you're with Gresh and Keefe. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, guys. I just want to first say the show before you and the show after you, they might have the more high-profile interviews, but you guys do a great job of talking to these players and getting information out of them. It's kind of relevant, great content, so good on you on that. Just want to go off and say, I don't know, in Patriot Nation, it's kind of funny, but yet annoying. We had the best quarterback of all time, and sometimes, besides in 07, the offense looked disjointed and kind of out of sorts for a lot of the time until, as we say, after Thanksgiving, when things kind of, you know, got together. I mean, this is a process, not an event. You have a rookie quarterback in there with a bunch of new offensive players. So it's all a buildup. When I think you'll see them take the cover off this is against Tampa Bay, because their defense is good, but their quarterbacks are weak. So, you know, it's kind of crazy just listening to, all these people trying to give their critique, and everyone has their opinion, but that's just mine. This is a buildup. You can't just take the top off the convertible right away. Thanks, guys.
Well, thanks for the call, Matt. And I think it is tough to be patient after last season. You know, I find myself thinking that way. You're like, all right, it's one thing if you just put Mac Jones in here with last year's receivers, then you'd have to say, all right, well, what do you really expect? It's like, but you did load up. You did add two high-priced tight ends day one. You went out and got Nelson Aguilar after a big year. You added Kendrick Bourne. So I think you are expecting a little bit more. But Matt's right. How many games did Tom Brady have where maybe he didn't throw for 300 yards or maybe he didn't throw for three touchdowns or whatever else. So it is. It's tough to be patient and not to get too far ahead of ourselves, but he's dead on about Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is going to stop Damien Harris. They just are. Their front seven is nasty. So that'll be a real test to see how much they trust Mac Jones and do they let him fling it, because that's the only way to beat the Bucs.
I also wonder how much of the Bill Belichick formula kind of factors into this, in that they've gone into games before where, say, a player could play that week, but it's, nah, we have a bigger game coming up in a week from now, so we can win without you. And I think Bill Belichick manages not only the week to week, but also the game to game in the opponent. Because again, if Damien Harris doesn't fumble, we all assume they're kicking a field goal, they're beating Miami,
yeah,
and
sure
it would have gone right to script.
Yeah.
And it would have maybe made people feel a little different about it. I just think, Keith, that the narrative from some fans is going from Mac is afraid to throw the ball down the field versus someone calling and saying, I want Mac to force it.
No.
And that's what it feels like it's going to, well, is that, well, he's a scrubbin, or that he doesn't have any nards to throw the ball because he's not throwing it into double coverage and trying to force it to someone down the field, which would make him feel better when they go to bed at night.
Well, I think it's, to me, you're going sort of the extreme. I don't think just because you're throwing the ball past 10 yards means it's always a bad throw. Like, there are throws that you can make, or maybe it is the play calling, because right now it does feel like they're settling for a lot of field goals. Nick Folk had, how many field goals does he have in the first two games? Like a million field goals.
I think it's five now,
it's nonstop. Well, he had four yesterday.
Oh, it was four yesterday.
And then he had, what,
that's
three
right.
week one?
Yeah,
I feel
so
like
we're
he
up
has
to,
seven
we're up
field
seven.
Goals. So, I mean, that means you're moving the ball. Like, that was one of the big takeaways from week one, is they converted all these third downs, but then when they got close, something would happen. Not all Mac Jones's fault,
right?
But something would happen, and you're saying, all right, you can't, like, against the Jets, you can beat the Jets and the Texans and the Jaguars with a field goal parade if you want.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a number of teams on the schedule, and it even proved out Miami happened to be one of them. But Buffalo is, Tampa Bay is, probably Dallas. You're going to have to score touchdowns, and I think that's what they're talking about too, is just, doesn't even have to be, nobody's asking for, or I'm not asking for a 40-yard bomb down the field. I'm just, you know, push it a little bit. Push it into the end zone.
Bill in Maine with Gresh and Keith. Go ahead, Bill.
Hey guys, thanks for taking the call.
Yeah. Sure.
Hey, so you know, we got these tight ends, and we really loaded up on threats to do play action and run the ball and everything. Which I'm kind of wondering when we're going to start using the tight ends a little more. It doesn't seem like we're rolling them out as much. And screen passes, you know, we're not really hitting that much. I gotta say, I'd rather watch Mac throw 10-yard passes than see Cam Newton do it, because sure. Seems like it's far better efficient wise. You know, the one thing that I did want to mention as well, the week before, we had a lot of mental errors. We beat ourselves more than Miami beat us. Fumbles, turnovers, critical turnovers. What did we see in the first drive? We see a fumble. Luckily, the play was blown dead early. And I mean, we got really lucky, because that should have been a turnover. And it's just like, how do we get over this? Why are we still going through this? Do you guys think this is something that's going to continue because it's the beginning of the season? Or is there something more to that?
I mean, I think it should improve as the year goes on, because your quarterback has played two games. I feel like he'll be better after 12 games than he was after two, right? I mean, sure, there are going to be some defenses that are a lot more difficult to go up against than the Jets. And so he's going to have game. He's going to have better games than this and worse games than this. That's a fact. That's what's going to happen.
I don't worry as much about the quarterback as I do the offensive line. And that will get us into our number two, because if you look at the first two drives of the Patriots yesterday, you can look at the offensive line and say, that's a part of the reason why maybe they're not throwing it down the field and why we're stalling for touchdowns around here. But again, it's going to be on the quarterback. They get too much praise. They get too much blame. Let's talk about this offensive line, because, Keith, I think what you just said, that's the group we need to focus on, because mm-hmm. right now they're the sick animal within this Patriots offense. And we're going to continue with you at 617-779-7937. What did you see yesterday? Are you encouraged? Are you discouraged? Are you confounded? Air out your thoughts with Gresh and Keith next. Oh, oh.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.